the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40 shots on goal is a little deceiving. Yeah. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
Uh-oh, the phones are working. Uh-oh, the Bleed Blue Show is back. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? What up? This is the end of the season episode of post game versus the Islanders. The Blue Shirts lose to the New York Islanders 3-2 at UBS Arena. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We were having hella issues with the phones last week. The only episode that we did get off was the last week hockey episode. We didn't have no basketball. We'll resume that on Wednesday. And we didn't have no football. And, you know, speaking with Chris in the background, there will be no football this Thursday. He's going to double up with prospects and stakeholder mock draft next Thursday. That would be the 18th of April. But this is hockey night. Hockey night. Tuesday is hockey night here on the Bleed Blue Show. Let's get everybody on. We've got 1 hour to discuss. You know, the Blue Shirts fall to the Islanders. It's almost like a carbon copy of how all these games start with the Islanders. They get down early and they come back, and sometimes you take the lead, or most times you take the lead, and sometimes you don't. And on a night like this, you don't. But let's talk about it, man. Let's get everybody on, man. Let's see. Glenn, say hello to the people real quick, man. How you doing, man? How's everything? If you can hear.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'll tell you, the way this team has been coming back the last few weeks and all season, after the first period down 3-0, I thought, well, all right, we got them right where we want them. But although they did get them back on their heels in the second period, and, you know, they pushed in the third, had a couple of opportunities besides the power plays, that one sequence in the second where Varlamov had lost his stick for a long time, and they kept the puck in, and then in the third where they had that the pressure on the Islanders for a good minute and a half in their zone. You know, the Islanders blocked 30-plus shots.
Let's get everybody on. Let's get everybody on. We're good. Let's see. Get Carl on. What's up, Carl? How you doing? How's everything?
Hey, a pleasant good evening, gentlemen. Tuesday, that, you know, could have been better, but, you know, hey, we're just counting down the days.
Right on. Exactly. Shout out to Carl. Scott, say hello real quick, and then we're going to go right back to Glenn. Go ahead, Scott. How you doing? Real quick.
Hi, good evening, Steve. Congrats on your Huskies back-to-back titles. You must be happy about that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, thank you, Maryland, for knocking this out of the first round several years ago. That really
yeah,
got everything.
Kicking the butt you guys needed to become elite.
Yeah.
There you go. You're welcome.
we just need the spirit of Gary Williams to come back to Maryland. Maryland needs to go back to the ACC, but that's a story for another day. We'll talk about that another time. But I want Glenn to continue his thoughts, man. Go ahead, Glenn. I know you were going. You were really ready to sound off, and we'll go back to Carl and then Scott. Then I'll sound off. But I mean, the Blue Shirts, 3 in a row until they lost tonight. They have a nice little cushion. I'm not exactly sure what the Hurricanes are doing in Boston right now. Last I saw, they were up 1. But who do you really want to win? We couldn't afford a Carolina win so we could stay ahead of Boston. I mean, unless you don't want the President's Trophy, Glenn. But your thoughts, Glenn, and continue on, and then we'll go to Carl and then go to Scott.
Yeah, last I saw, Carolina was up 2-1 on Boston at the end of the second. As far as I don't really care that much about the President's Trophy, but as I had said last week, I think you do want to win the conference to avoid Tampa in the first round. So, you know, although you've got, you know, the Islanders obviously fighting for their playoff lives, and Washington, Flyers look like they've run out of gas. Pittsburgh somehow is still in it. If I had my way, I would much rather play, you know, somebody like Pittsburgh or Washington or Detroit, maybe concluding their collapse again tonight, too. So they might be out of it as well. But I'd rather play one of those teams than take on Tampa. You know, I'm sure, you know, we'll get to it when we do some kind of predictions of how we think the first round is going to go. But I think Tampa is a very scary team right now. And whether it's post-traumatic syndrome with what we put up with them for the last 7 or 8 years, or, you know, just that they're playing well and still have that championship core together, I'd like to avoid them. So I think the Rangers need these points as much as, you know, not as much as the Islanders did, but almost.
Let's save that for the next time we go around. So let me ask you this. We'll save that as far as predictions, because there's like six in, and I say two teams, like four or five teams fighting for two spots. But what about what happened in Detroit? That win, and also the especially big third period versus the Habs, the Montreal Canadiens. What were your thoughts on those games?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, I look at those games, and you know, the Detroit game was really the fourth line that dominated and won that game. The next game, the Montreal game, you know, was more Kreider and Zibanejad in the top line, you know, so I liked the fact that different combinations were, you know, having an impact on the games. It wasn't, you know, for most of the season, it's been the second line. You know, that was kind of my impression, both the fact that, you know, you never feel like this team is out of it. You know, I really felt they were going to win both of those games, even though they were, you know, behind at one point. But it was nice, for me at least, to see that they weren't just leaning on the second line as has been the case most of the season, that you could see that, you know, the other lines were really playing well. And, you know, going into the playoffs, that's what you want to have, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the Blue Shirts with a team record as far as points. I mean, is it, on that strip, I mean, that we're riding high. You know, it's just very competitive in the Eastern Conference. But we'll talk about that, because I want to see what your thoughts as far as the teams that are currently in. I believe the sixth in right now. I think the last team to get in was Tampa Bay. And for the same reasons you said, Glenn, the same reasons why, that's an animal you don't want to mess with, man. Tampa Bay, they are an old dog on this spot. Let's go to Carl, get his thoughts on those games. The Red Wings, the Habs, the Islanders tonight. What are your thoughts, Carl? And then same thing from Scott. And then we'll go around and get the playoff picture as this is the last regular season episode.
So I missed the game on Friday. I did not get a chance to check that out. But I did watch the good part of the Montreal game the other day. So from that standpoint, you know, things were, you know, the games, it's weird, right? The games against the teams that are desperate, you can tell their desperation level. That's what I kind of actually thought tonight was, when you were watching the amount of block shots and the amount of just sort of, you know, what someone would refer to it as playoff effort that the Islanders showed tonight. That's, you know, it's when the Rangers are playing with some sort of cushion right now, as they are, it's kind of hard to evaluate. But you know, you're just really trying to get through some of these games just to get them off the schedule. And so, you know, Friday night, you know, Rangers are able to get through, and then Sunday just get through the game. And then tonight, you know, unfortunately, hey, listen, the house was on fire in the first period. I don't know what was going on there, but after that, the game kind of settled down. And you know, one side thing, you know, I don't know, for those that were watching on MSG, the wherever they had the microphones panned to the guy that was basically screaming "Let's go Islanders" from the first period on, I hope he lost his voice completely and can't go to work tomorrow, because my God, I felt like I heard that at least 1,000 times tonight. Is my audio bad? Like, do I have to turn the volume down? Like I don't want to turn down Sam, but damn, this is damn annoying. It seemed like it was the same guy. I felt like I was hearing his voice the entire night. But that being said, hey, listen, we got a couple more games to go here. Boston loses tonight. Rangers are about 3 points up now on both teams with 3 games to go. Essentially, if the Rangers just get 3 points total, then they've got the whole thing, you know, pretty much wrapped up, and won't even have to worry about any other games after that. So you're looking at what, if you win Thursday and get a point Saturday against the Islanders, then it's all over. So from that, once that's in play, because as I talked about this weeks ago, you know, and I think Glenn just mentioned it as well, you know, the Tampa thing is looming over whoever finishes second in the conference. When we lost that game to Tampa a couple weeks ago, I think it was maybe first or second week of March. I think it was the first week of March. So it was right in that period. I was like, the thought of that matchup is just not comfortable. And so for the Rangers to avoid that, the only way they can do that then would be to, you know, win the conference outright. If that means that they end up finishing first overall in the league, well, I think that's just kind of just the way that's going to play out. So it's not like the Rangers can sort of, you know, jigger their way where, yes, you don't win the President's Trophy, but you win the conference and you either get it or you don't at that point. Because the alternative of losing enough games to play Tampa is not something that I would recommend, given the options between that and the other five teams that are basically fighting for the last two spots. I'd rather take my chances with those teams in a seven-game series and then just kind of see where that goes. I do would like to wonder between all of you guys, you know, with those five contenders, I don't know if you guys want to do a ranking system between one and five as to what would be your most preference to the least preference of those five teams. I am actually kind of curious.
We could do that. Let's do that. Hold that question. I'll come back to you after I speak, Carl, and then you can ask that question to Glenn to lead that off. Scott, what are your thoughts, man, on the last several games, man? What are your thoughts? I know you were at the game versus the Habs. What are your thoughts as far as the wins and the loss tonight?
Yeah, the Sunday night was nice. I mean, like Carl mentioned, some of these desperation teams fighting for their playoff lives are the most dangerous teams you can play. And Steve, also to throw in there what you said about how this is typical Islander game where they come out on fire, get a quick one. And, you know, I mean, all three of those goals were just freak accidents, but the Islanders earned those goals the way they played. And we just, you know, we had 40 minutes to get back into the game, and we almost did. I mean, that third period, we couldn't have done anything better, really. We had sustained pressure. We owned the entire period. We didn't really have any not like incredible chances. We got a lot of chances, but nothing really top notch. So the period actually, as dominant as they were, could have been better. But so teams like this, you know, are going to be, you know, this was basically a playoff game. It's definitely on the Islanders' end. And the Montreal game, not one of those teams fighting for their playoff lives. So the Rangers did what they should have done. They just, you know, they went down 1-0. But as we know with this team, 1-0 is nothing. Even 2-0 is not much as long as it's early. And the Rangers just came back and took that game over and never looked back. And that's exactly how that game should have gone. The answer to your guys' question is Carolina ended up winning 4-1, so that's over. And Steve, you were on the fence about who to root for there. Me, that's what I wanted. It's funny because I was talking to my buddy in Carolina last week. They played Boston last week as well. And last week I said I wanted Boston to win because I was worried about the division. Now, yes, we haven't clinched it, but I consider the division race pretty much over. And I know we've been talking for the last couple weeks about, you know, should Carolina catch us, it would be a disappointment. Now, if Carolina were to catch us, it would be backbreaking, you know, I think, you know, just in terms of morale, because I remember with six games to go, we needed to go 4-2 to clinch it, and that was if Carolina went 6-0. We won two, make it 2-2, and now we lost the game tonight, and Carolina won, but we're still up. We're up 3 points, and we have all the tiebreakers with them, so I consider the division race pretty much a done deal, which means now I'm turning my attention to making sure we stay ahead of Boston, which means, you know, last week I wanted Boston to beat Carolina so we could solidify the division. Now that's, for all intents and purposes, should not – I don't want to say the wrong words, but for all intents and purposes, that should not be an issue anymore. So now we got to worry about putting Boston away, and that's why I was rooting for Carolina tonight, and we got help from them there. So that was that was nice. Boston, with their 15 overtime losses, are still a threat to win not only the conference but the President's Trophy. It's ridiculous, but we talked at length about that. So Yeah, very, very happy, you know, with the way things have been going. Remember last week we were right after the Pittsburgh game, which was pretty much a stinker, but you know, they were on a massive win streak before that. And then since that game, we had another nice three-game win streak, and, you know, here we are talking about another loss, but, you know, they've responded well every time. And, you know, we've with the last four games left, I think, you know, we got another one against the Islanders, which, you know, that it is what it is. You know, they're still going to be fighting for their playoff lives, because that bottom race is just unbelievable. And the Islanders seem to be the only team that really wants it. You know, if we thought that better, if you guys saw the Philly score, Philly was at Montreal tonight. They had lost seven in a row. And if you think the wheels came off the bus, they lost 9-3 tonight. So, you know, the wheels fell off the bus, and now that bus just flew off the cliff and exploded. I mean, that's just disgusting. So, Philly, I mean, and they're still in the race, but I mean, they, you know, they just don't want it. So, you know, Washington won again, got back in the window, not again, because they were, I think they lost like six in a row also, but they, you know, they're keeping their head above water there. So it's going to be a very interesting, you know, not only us, because we don't have the division clinched yet, and we're still fighting for that, and Boston for the conference, but that bottom race is very, very interesting as well. So it should be a fun another week.
Yeah, that Philadelphia thing, man, I've been saying that for months, man. Once I saw what their march was looking like, I said, no way they survived this. No way they survived this. And everything that's happening with that franchise is going to, according to plan. So one of those situations when it comes to the people of Philadelphia, I like them. They're cool people. But when it comes to the sports side of things, we're a mortal enemy. So I am cool with everything Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, the union, everything, the sabotaging, the self-destructing right before our eyes, and I love it. Love it, love it, what's going on with Philadelphia on the hockey side. I'm glad they were for a long time, they were in second place, and they are quickly going into Bolivia right now, man. I love it. I love it, man. And let me go one more point, and I'll talk about Blues, and we'll go back to Carlos' question. About Boston, I got to give them props, man. I mean, this is the end of the season episode, so kind of maybe want to cover all the other teams, including ours, you know, with the last couple of games with Ottawa and Philly and the Islanders, the other Islander game. But Boston, you know what, after all what they went through with the record last year, and especially with the, you know, the Bergeron retirement, I mean, they still, like, on pace for, what, 110 points or something like that? I mean, 108, 109, that's still pretty damn good after everything. I mean, what they went through last year.
And the and the retirements?
Mm-hmm, go ahead. Yeah,
and the retirement factor. Yeah, Bergeron, Krejci, yeah. Those guys retired, moved on, and they've been able to persevere.
Right. It's still at the top of the heat, man. I mean, Pasternak is like the clear-cut leader, you know, as far as the go-to guy. I mean, for a while, I felt like it was like a three-man, you know, three-headed attack with Marchand and Bergeron and Pasternak, but, like, clearly this team is led by him. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, giving them props. I'm just saying, like, the fact that what they went through last year and the retirements, like what just Carl just said, them being back in well over 100 points, and I would say that division is probably the best division in hockey this season. I don't know if you guys agree with it or not, but let me go back to the other games, man. The Red Wing game, them up and then losing the lead and going down and coming back, and I thought Gaudreau had a good game. Well, is that like Glenn said, it was the bottom line as well. The Habs game, the third period, of course. The Rangers, not tonight, but especially in the second half of games, which is really something I like. And if you had to pick a poison, I'd rather the team start off slow and then pick up the play as they go. Because sometimes when teams start off fast and they just die, you know, second and third periods or throughout the course of a game, no matter what the sport is, that could be really, you know, depressing. I like when a team really gets off to it. And, you know, if they could keep it up the tempo all game long, that's great. But, you know, start off slow and finish on. That was the Montreal game, the game Scott was at. That they put their grits into that third period, and that was fantastic. But the blue shirt, you know, with Trouba back and, you know, Lindgren's out there, last year, forget 20 goals. He's closer knocking on his step for 30 goals, guy. I mean, we might have the Hail Mary prayer on that one, man, the Holy Grail. But let's go back to Glenn. But, Carl, your question, you said the rankings. I guess I'll let you get the floor to ask that question to Glenn.
Yeah, so right now that we factor in the Islanders' win tonight, there are five teams that are within 4 points of each other. You know, we probably should eliminate the Flyers now based on the fact that they're probably not going to be able to catch up at this. Well, let's include them in the conversation. Between the Islanders, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Red Wings, and the Flyers, the Rangers are likely going to face one of those five teams if form holds. What would be your preference from most to least?
Is that a question for Glenn, or should I go first, or you want
let's,
to go with first?
We'll throw it to everybody. So I guess we'll start with Glenn first, and then pass it along and go from there.
Okay. Well,
let's go to Glenn.
I made a little list here. I'm pretty clear. And one thing I want to just throw in there too about Tampa. I mean, I'm a little afraid of them, but I still think the Rangers could beat them. But I think the best way to the Stanley Cup Finals is to have a relatively easy first round, one that's not, against one of the top teams or, a real emotional series. I've seen too many years where the Rangers, drew what you would say would be an inferior team and let that series go six or seven games, and it came back to haunt them later in the run. So, that's another reason why I'd like to get away from Tampa.
Like Ottawa.
all right. So, first I'd like to play Detroit just because of the kind of inexperience of that team, the kind of up and down. Will be their first time in the playoffs in, I think, about 7 years. So I think, my preference would be Detroit first, but I think they're kind of completing their collapse, and I don't think they're going to wind up making the playoffs. Next would be Philly. Again, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're just on such a bad run right now. I kind of felt all season long that, they were hanging on. I was like, can they really hang on? I don't know if they can. And sure enough, they're falling apart at exactly the wrong time. They got through the whole Carter Hart thing and hung on, but I don't know what happened with a couple of benchings of Couturier a couple of games ago, but when you're benching your coach in the last 10 games of the season, you wonder, is something going on there? So Philly would be next. Washington, I guess, would be third because, again, I don't think they're particularly strong. I think they're, on a great run. It would be a cool story that they'd be playing against Ryan Lindgren's brother in goal, and you always got to worry about Ovechkin getting hot, which he has in the last month. So you worry about him filling the net from that left circle in the playoffs. We've seen that happen too many times, but I think Washington would probably be my third choice. Pittsburgh would be next, just again, because, we saw how they played the Rangers in that last game. They played them tough. Crosby is really kind of, he's carrying that team right now. And, we know he can do that. And, we look back a couple of years ago when the Rangers looked like they might be getting knocked out in the first round by Pittsburgh. And then, Crosby went down and it kind of changed the series. So they would be my fourth favorite. And, as much fun as it would be, it would be contradicting my theory of having an easy first round if we were to play the Islanders. Would we beat them? Yeah, probably. But that's going to be a fiery, emotional series. And if I had my choice, I'd like to avoid that in the first round. So that's my list.
Oh, man. Let's go to Scott, get his answers on that. I'll take a crack at that. Go ahead, Scott.
Rankle. For me, the top choice, Philly or Washington, I think are interchangeable. Both teams have proven that they're neither of them really deserves to be there, even if they do make it. Washington was really hot. Remember, we were talking 2 weeks ago about how hot they were. They've just completely mellowed out. You know, yes, Ovechkin has refound his game, but I don't think he's got anything of a supporting cast. I mean, we played them, you know, we played them five times in the Ovechkin era, lost the first two, won the next three, and those were complete Washington teams that eventually went on to win the Stanley Cup a couple years later. We beat them three times. This is a shell. This is basically Ovechkin and nothing else on that team. So Philly or Washington, to me, either one, I think is, you know, like Glenn said, an easy first round. I don't put the word easy in quotes because, you know, I think I mentioned last week, you know, the days of like the 94 run where the Rangers didn't break a sweat till the third round, those days are over no matter who you play. I can go ahead and put the Islanders at the absolute last team that I want to play, and tonight was a perfect example why. Again, Steve, like you mentioned, you know, they have a tendency of coming out hot to start games. They've got the Varlamov might be the number one goalie right now. Again, I don't think we really tested him per se, especially in that third period. We had a lot of shots, but nothing was really, you know, I don't remember like oh my God, I can't believe he stopped that kind of save from him tonight. So I don't think we had more that we could have given him. But that being said, if it is, you know, Sorokin, we know what he can do, and, you know, two hot games in a row. And, you know, I just, you add the rivalry factor, you add the physicality with the fans and everything that goes into that. You know, I don't want to play a first round series with seven games going like we had in that outdoor game. I just don't want it. You know, on paper, yes, it should be a four, maybe five game series, but it won't be. So I'd like to put them at the bottom. Detroit, yeah, I know that they're inexperienced. I don't put that much stock in that. Because, I mean, look at us 2 years ago. We were inexperienced. And, you know, again, if not for that schedule the way it was, we may have won the Stanley Cup that year or at least gotten to the finals. You know, experience, you're not experienced until you are. And, you know, especially that kid line. You know, the kid line, you know, looked like our most seasoned, comfortable seasoned vets out there in their first, you know, their first run. So I don't put too much stock in the experience, and I just think they're a very, very talented team with, you know, of course, Patrick Kane. He's recovered just nicely from that injury, and Dylan Larkin, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so I'd put them above the Islanders, but below Philly and Washington. And yeah. Pittsburgh is pretty good too, especially, you know, you don't talk about momentum. If they make the playoffs, they'll certainly have earned it because of, you know, they were dead and buried pretty much. So I'll put them below Detroit. So I guess it's going to go Philly and Washington. Same thing to me, either one. I don't care. Followed by Detroit, followed by Pittsburgh, followed by the Islanders. That is my order of teams that I would rather face in the first round. But, you know, I think we're all in agreement that we want to avoid Tampa, and that means we absolutely must hold off Boston at all costs. So we did get some help from Carolina. We've got the what we can't do is let Philly break that losing streak in 2 days. We can put the official nail in that coffin on Thursday, but, you know, we are still playing for stuff. It's been a nice run, but we got to finish the job. You know, 4 points, I think. What do we got? 3 games left. 2 wins should win both the division and the conference, and that's if those, you know, Boston and Carolina, you know, win their last three, which, you know, they're both okay. Incredible teams. They can. So just got to take care of our business. Don't worry about anybody else.
I'm in agreement with the guys, Carl. I do not want no – I want to say I don't want any parts of the Islanders, but to answer your question for exercise purposes, I don't want another tri-state rivalry in the first round like we did last year. I want a team out of the area. You know what I'm saying? The Islanders, is for all the reasons we played them this year, I don't want to go into a situation where the Rangers feel the need to have pressure and the Islanders get off to good starts. Yeah, it may seem okay in the regular season. We may come back, but I don't want to deal with that in the postseason, especially with the team from the area. They're number five on my list. But to answer your question, Philadelphia number one for sure. I love everything matchup wise. They can't play our game, and we could beat them at theirs. So I have no issues, and I don't even think they're going to make it. But to answer the question, they're number one. Number two, I would probably would say Detroit and then Washington. I think Detroit's on the up, but I don't think they're there yet. Even with some of the young talent, with DeBrincat and then also Larkin, and then, you know, the veteranship, like what Scott said with Patrick Kane, I don't think they have, you know, a cop, you know they got some good guys down in their second and third lines with Cop, you know, we're familiar with him. But I think we can handle Detroit, if anything. I mean, they can make it interesting and make it win it. They might steal a game one or maybe two at best, but that's a six-game series at best. The Rangers can handle them. Washington, like Scott said, after that, you know, they're a show of themselves. It's just not the same squad. They're almost on the verge of rebuild. And it's crazy because Ovechkin got another 30-goal season. It's like damn near, what, 15, 16 years? I don't know. I lost count, man. It's the
18,
fact that what he's doing
18
still
has said tonight.
So it's closer to 20. Shit. Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, that is just remarkable, man.
First player in NHL history to have 30 goals,
so,
18 30-goal seasons.
So Washington, you know, Pittsburgh is really, I want to say it's tricky, but just to answer the question, you know, I wouldn't mind facing them. You know, it's still got Crosby, and it's just not a deep team. But when guys like that still can make things happen, you know, I know Gunther went to the Carolina Hurricanes, and that was more contractual for them as far as business. And then the last, you know, like I said, number five is the Islanders. For all the reasons I said, you know, tonight's game. I don't think the Rangers or any Ranger fan, I don't know about the Rangers, but the fans don't want to be in a situation where the Islanders get off the hot starts and we're going to hit the, oh, here we go again. I don't want the fans to deal with that shit, man. And rightfully so. I mean, who wants to deal with that shit? The comebacks are great, and I was just saying the Rangers are a good comeback team, but that shouldn't have to be the norm. Yes, you could do it, but that shouldn't have to be the norm. And the Islanders, for whatever reason, come out with good energy. I do not want that, especially if it's a 1-8 situation. So those are my order. Carl, what about you? What are your thoughts on that, on your own question?
So it was a tie between the Islanders and the Penguins in terms of the team I would least like to face. I think we all kind of had a consensus on the Flyers being the easiest team. And then I put the Red Wings and the Capitals 2 and 3. I remember when the Stadium Series game happened, and I watched that play out, I said, you know, a matchup like that in a series, see, I feel like the Islanders are coming to the series in a situation where they've got nothing to lose. They just go free and easy and drag the series right into the gutter, like tonight's game. Like, if you watch how the game sort of played out, like I think it was a 30 block shots. Like the whole thing was just a frustrating watch. And I feel like that's a situation where where the Rangers could easily get frustrated in a situation like that, where all the expectation is on them to win, and a loss would just be devastating. Like I know that there is and I've talked about this for a long time. Like the sort of random flukiness of postseason results. Like if someone told me that, you know, if the Rangers played the Islanders, could the Rangers lose? I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be totally shocked. Like that's if you put some of these other teams, if you put the Red Wings, the Capitals. Like if you told me the Rangers lost to them, I'd be like, wow, really? But that unique. Of a matchup. And the same thing kind of for, I know Pittsburgh's been on a pretty good run lately, and I feel like Pittsburgh would give the Rangers a series where it goes about six games, and you would probably have to sweat out the sixth game. But something tells me that, and right now we may not even get, the Islanders may get, you know, Carolina, and then we'll just see how that plays out. But for some reason, I'm like, you know what, let me avoid. Because they're also, you know, the other part of this as well is sort of like the emotional angle to it, you know, the clutchiness, and you're going to see it in most postseason series, but that one in particular, where, you know, guys are already on edge, you know, it's postseason, they're on edge, they may do things that they may not necessarily would do against fill-in-the-blank team, that in this particular matchup with the rivalry and the fans and everything, you know, things just might go a little bit over the top. And I'm like, you know what? Let's mellow this out a little bit until necessary. Uh-huh. and then operate it that way. So I would say, you know, Islanders slightly ahead of Pittsburgh, but not by much in terms of the team you would least likely to want to just deal with. And I feel like Varlamov could potentially steal a postseason series. Now, I don't think the Islanders have a chance in the world against Carolina, but if it were against the Rangers, however, I feel like that's just a little bit more of a matchup that might suit them more than anybody else.
Right, right. Let's go back to Glenn. Shout out to you, Carl, on that question. Glenn, I'd be remorseful without saying. Last season, we did the 46-point turnaround by the Devils, and now they're back to what the Devils do. So, I mean, I would like to include them into the conversation as them being pretty much eliminated. And how crazy was it for them the last couple of seasons of down in the gutter, pretty much up into the top of the standings in the Metro, back to where they are right now? I mean, this sport is pretty crazy when it comes to things like that. Your thoughts on that? And then also, you know, let's give, you know, Vincent Trocheck the McDonald Award. So, you know, your thoughts on that, if you like, you know, that's a big time award with the Rangers organization, you know, with the extra effort. And then also anybody else from the, you know, I mean, this is the last regular season episode. May as well, you know, Panarin's big season, you know. I just mentioned Lafreniere, 27 goals at this point. You know, his, would you call, I guess we could call it a breakthrough, right? And then you still want to put some sort of voodoo to make Scott do some voodoo. To put his, wait, what was the terminology you said for Scott to do? To put his claws into cackle? You know, maybe that's
possible
for next season.
Well, I mean, he was on Kreider for a long time, and look what happened. Then he was on Lafreniere for a long time.
Oh, him too.
So, I want him
too.
To, like,
you know,
do a little voodoo dance
on
somebody.
Yeah. So your thoughts on, you know, everything what happened with the Devils, and also, you know, Trocheck getting the McDonald Award, and also, you know, Kreider, well, close to 40 goals. He's got, like, 20 power play goals, something crazy, man. And where he, you know, how much he's been taking for years, you know, for his, what would be his upside. And a lot of times, you know, and especially in his younger years, where it felt like, you know, that's the reason why Scott was getting on him. Now he's like a front of the net deflection and redirection king right now. But your thoughts on all the players that had strong seasons, the Devils, anybody else in the East? We'll go to Carl after that and then Scott.
All right, I'll try to be quick with all of that. As far as the Devils go, I was shocked that they did not address their goaltending issue earlier in the season. Akira Smid, who you know, pretty much knocked the Rangers out last year in the playoffs, you know, he was back in the minors by November. And, you know, I was surprised that they didn't try to do something with their goaltending until it was too late. I mean, they went out and got Jake Allen, who played great for them, but, you know, it was too late. And don't forget, I think also with Jack Hughes being out for a while, he came back a little slow. I don't think he got back to the point where he was last year as, you know, one of the top players in the league. So I still think they're a good team. I still think we'll be hearing from them next year, but they needed to address their goaltending problem earlier in the season than they did, and I think that's where they ran into problems. As far as the Steve McDonald, I can't argue at all with Trocheck. In fact, I think there were probably about four or five guys on this team that that could have won. And I voted for Quick, but I was very happy to see Trocheck win it too. You know, there were a number of guys on this team that could have won it, so whoever did certainly deserved it. As far as you know, the team, it's amazing to me. It seems like every game you're hearing about some player hitting some milestone or passing some, you know, legend in Ranger history. Kreider getting his 300th goal. Kreider coming up to second now in all-time power play goals with the Rangers. And Mika, who I think is now in fifth in power play goals, both of them with over 100. It seems like it's amazing. It's almost every night someone on this team is eclipsing some kind of record that the
that the Rangers have had before. So, I mean, overall, you know, we went into the season with a lot of optimism and a lot of hopes, and I think it's turned out even better than we could have really expected. So, you know, I think it's just been a fun, enjoyable series and season, and, you know, you just hope that this team will be able to carry it into the playoffs and finish the job because, you know, they're on a record-setting pace. Panarin, obviously, with I think he's got 116 points, second all-time to Jagr. You know, this team has set a lot of records and kind of, you know, reminds me of back in 94. I don't want to speak too soon, but, you know, this team is you kind of feel like they're never out of a game. Like I said, even tonight, 3-0 at the end of the first period, and I was like, all right, well, we got him where we want him. Now we can start playing. One other thing that I do want to mention, you know, with our three games left is let's not forget that we dodged two big bullets tonight. Kreider, when he skated off, when he got hit by that shot by Mika, I was like, oh, no, broken arm. And then in the third period when Mika ran into, I forget who it was, Pelech, I think. I'm thinking, oh, man, concussion or shoulder or we don't need this right now. So, you know, let's keep that in mind. We talked about that last week about, you know, wanting to finish first of the conference. But the biggest thing is getting out of the season healthy. And I think Lindgren actually went off for a little while tonight, too. So let's not forget that we dodged those bullets and kind of keep that in mind over the next three games, if that's really the most important thing that they can accomplish between now and Monday.
And Kreider was upset on that play, like he was trying to, like he was going to go after Pelech.
Yeah.
And then they show the replays. I was like,
Pelech was just standing there, and Mika ran into him. Well, you know, they're BFFs. You know, they gotta, you know, Kreider's got to watch out for him. You know, so.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, your thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add from what we were saying? You know, if you want to speak on the Devils and also, you know, Trocheck getting the McDonald Award or anything else you'd like to add, and go to Scott after that.
You know, shout out to Trocheck. You know, he, you know, I remember when he first signed early on, he was having some struggles and it was like, ooh, you know, the Rangers gave this guy a, you know, 6-7 year contract. And it was like, is he fitting in? And you know what? He's been a very good complement to this team. Like, you know, I don't want to say invaluable. It's not the right word to use, but he is certainly a very valuable member of the group. He has added a lot in terms of just character, overall play. His face-off, you know, numbers at the dots are, you know, that goes without saying. But he has just been a very, you know, and it's, you know, when you go into the free agent market, sometimes you never know, right? You know, the Rangers have had a lot of swings and misses over the years where guys come in, you know, you might think that they are, you know, one thing, all of a sudden they come to your organization and it goes the opposite way. You know, we can run down the list. We only have another few minutes here on the show, so we don't want to, mention that, but shout out to them. I thought Quick was going to win it, but not unfortunate for Quick, but you know, both guys are certainly well deserving potential recipients coming up here. As far as the Devils go, you know, there was a thought that they were going to improve their goaltending in the off season at the time, and when they didn't do that, they sort of left that kind of question mark hanging over the team, even though that they had appeared to be bolstering the rest of the roster. But when you factor in injuries, expectations, I think that's probably the biggest thing that, separate from the goaltending, because I remember before the season, you asked me, Steve, when we were in Phoenix, before the Giants were playing Arizona, I was giving you the list of the teams who, you know, because I thought the Rangers were going to be a third-place team and basically line up another New Jersey series this coming April, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
It fooled
my theory on that. And I guess part of my theory on it was just thinking that they would take the next step. But, you know, sometimes what you learn, and you see it in a lot of these sports, you know, we'll see I don't know if it's going to happen to the Baltimore Orioles in baseball. I think they're probably too good. But there's the, you know, when there's nothing expected of you in going into a season, and you have a season like they did where, you know, they basically, you know, there was not a lot of resistance during most of the season, right up until they lost to Carolina last year. But then you come into the next season, and now people are at least keeping their eyes on you. and maybe you think that you're better than you are, and then all of a sudden things get off to a slow start, and you get some injuries, and all of a sudden the roof caves in. And unfortunately for them, that's kind of what happened. You know, by the time, you know, there's that saying, you can't make up the playoffs in the first month of the season, but sometimes you can lose it. And in, I think, New Jersey's case, by the time Thanksgiving rolled around, they were in trouble. And they could not escape it, unfortunately. And it was going to take a lot to sort of overcome that over the rest of the season, but they were never really able to get their footing. And the goaltending issue continued to sort of linger. And without being able to get any sort of, you know, reinforcements, they were basically screwed at that point. Now they're going to have to address it. They have no choice now, but it's, you know, too little too late, you know, for everybody there. So, but I think, listen, I still think they have a good future. They'll be heard from next season because, you know, the third spot in the division, there's certainly a playoff spot available for them next season when the year starts. I'm sorry, the rest of these other teams here that are competing that are going to get a third playoff spot this year. I mean, they're not. Listen, I got to be fair. They're not any good. You know, there should be a 100 point team that's in there, and that spot was supposed to be for the Devils this season, but unfortunately they didn't get to it. And you know, they'll have to, you know, they'll come away with figuring that out. But we've got, you know, as we're coming down the stretch here, as I'm just looking at some of these potential matchups here, this matchup I'm staring at, and I think it's going to happen the way the point system is going to work out. The Dallas Stars here have had a tremendous season. They're probably going to win. I mean, it's between them and the Rangers, really, for the President's Trophy as it stands right now, at least in terms of resistance, I believe. But the problem I'm noticing is that the way this is lining up, they're going to face Vegas in the first round of the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, that is not what you're looking for there. You know, we were talking about on the Rangers side trying to get, like, a soft patch to begin the postseason. But I think for all of the teams this year that finish first, they're outside of perhaps the winner of the Eastern Conference, there's no soft patch this year. Vancouver's looking at Nashville, Dallas looking at Vegas, Tampa Bay against perhaps Boston, and then, you know, the Rangers against fill in the blank team. But, you know, getting out of this first series here is gonna be very, very tough for a lot of these teams that had very good seasons, and it's very likely that at least one of them is going home in the first round.
All right, cool. Let's go to Scott, and then after that we'll get some final thoughts. Man, Scott, anything you'd like to add? I know you're happy as far as what happened with the Devils, man, but feel free to Sister Jersey and Jubilee, man.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely comment on the Devils. That's enjoyable. Their season more or less, not, they didn't know it at the time, but their season more or less ended when they lost Dougie Hamilton for the year, and they lost a couple defensemen in the offseason, so they didn't have the defense to overcome that. You know, Vanacek was exposed. I forgot who asked earlier why. Glenn, I think, why they didn't address their goalie issues. I don't think they knew exactly what their goalie issues were. You know, Vanacek had a great year, and we've talked about today's NHL, how you don't need a top five goalie to win a Stanley Cup anymore. When you look at some of the goalies in the post 05 lockout era that have won Stanley Cups, Corey Crawford, Cam Ward, et cetera, you just needed a good goalie to get hot at the right time and have a great supporting cast. And I think they thought they had that in Vanacek, based on last year, but it turns out they didn't, but they didn't know that at the time. And Schmidt, you know, he was young. I really thought he was going to be a superstar, but apparently not so much, just against us. Shocker. their season kind of, you know, they couldn't get out of their own way, just all sorts of things. And they officially threw in the towel. I know they're not mathematically out yet, 5 points, but they officially threw in the towel today. They shut Jack Hughes down. He needs surgery. He's been playing hurt for a while. He's getting his shoulder surgery. They shut him down today for the year. So they've officially thrown in the towel on their season, which is nice because I believe we have them one more time. So that's the Devils. What was the other question, Steve, that was posed here?
It was, you know, the big seasons, you know, Trocheck and you know, getting the Donald Award and Canary, your boy Kreider, and Lafayette, and then Glenn requested you put the claws in the cat from Kako.
Yeah, I'm working on Kako. I'm working on him. I'm giving him a little bit of a leeway because you know, again, he has been noticeably better now that that first line spotlight is off him. He has been, you know, he looks a little more relaxed, a little more comfortable, and that's good. And I think if he is going to develop like Lafreniere has, then he needs to be out of that spotlight. Lafreniere was in that spotlight with Panarin and Trocheck, but he was able to overcome it. But you know, he's on a different level, Lafreniere, in terms of, you know, the prospect expectations there. So he was able to find his game on the second line there. This was my first Stephen McDonald Award that I've ever been at. I didn't even know they were. I mean, I knew they were giving it out. Obviously, I didn't know it was Sunday until we were pregaming that afternoon. I got really excited, so I finally got to see it. Yeah, my guess would have been Trocheck or Quick. Either one, I couldn't go wrong with one of those two, and it was so definitely either one would have been well deserved. So, you know, great Trocheck. You know, we've been saying that since he got here, that Trocheck upgrading from Ryan Strome is one of the best upgrades we've ever had. And you know, he's just unbelievable, phenomenal year he's had. I do want to comment on the Zibanejad situation. And, you know, yeah, like Glenn said, we dodged a couple bullets. Lindgren obviously left the game. It's not a complete game if Lindgren doesn't go out for at least a shift or not. But so he came back, and I got nervous there because, you know, he went into the boards and kind of a leg first, and I was wondering if we were looking at another knee situation. But hopefully that's all right, and Kreider came back. But my question is, do we know that we dodged the bullet yet on Zibanejad? Because he didn't come back. And
he was on the bench.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, good. Because I was, I was going to bring that up earlier in the call, and I thought we were just going to be addressed because I don't remember him coming back. I don't remember Sam or Joe saying he was back. So I was under the impression he wasn't, and I was just hoping that maybe Laviolette just, you know, let him, you know, all right, call it a day and go recover as a preventative measure. Okay, but that's thank you. That's a big weight off our shoulders, because that would have been absolutely devastating with four games to go here. So all the more reason. And I know that was a freak play. That was pretty much his own fault, but just another reason why I don't want to play the Islanders in the first round. So Glenn, your story holds water. Three bullets dodged there. So very good. I guess that's everything addressed there. We got the Flyers in 2 days. We can pretty much officially end their season. But again, we're still fighting for our own things. Got to hold off Boston, because not holding off Boston means Tampa or the loser of that Tampa Toronto sweepstakes in the first round. And I think we're pretty much all in agreement there that that second wild card is the place to be for the first round, not that first wild card. Because that first wild card is a cup contender, whichever team it is. Second wild card is not.
All right, I'm going to jump into my final thoughts first, and I'll let everybody else sound off. I think we covered pretty much everything all year round for the Blue Shirts, and I'm glad somebody brought up John. I mean, we talked about it, but with the goalie situation, how blessed they have been pretty much for decades, especially the last 10 years as far as backups. Glad to have Quick add him to that list as far as productive Blue Shirt players this season. Rest of the NHL, and you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, this talk about expansion and adding another team or relocating, let's say, Arizona, and how they wanted to get a new piece of land to build a new arena. That experiment is done. To get out of Arizona, the Coyotes. If I had to pick two cities, well, there's really three, but if I had to pick two cities for a new expansion team or a relocation for one, I don't see how Salt Lake City, Utah is not an option. They have to. That's definitely a market for another hockey club. I would also put Milwaukee on the map if they was to put another team out there. But the other city that would make sense, but I don't know if they have the population, is that's Quebec, a little northeast of Montreal. Those are the only three places I could think of. I know the Ducks have been struggling, but really, they don't need two teams in Southern California. They really don't. And so they're going to be there for a while, but they had a situation with the arena in Anaheim. If they was to be up, they should get the hell out of there too, man. I mean, they don't really – I understand why the NHL did what they did at the time to expand to, you know, warmer places. But listen, I mean, there's hockey obviously is a cold weather winter sport. Put it in Utah, put it in Wisconsin. You know what? There's another place that's a sleeper. I will say Des Moines, Iowa is another sleeper. But I know they have smaller circuits there, big arena. Places like that would make more sense. That is my final thoughts. We'll get into the playoffs next Tuesday and see what the matches will be. Glenn, your final thoughts. Call your final thoughts and then of course Scott. So Glenn, give us about a minute some change and we're out, man.
Okay, just to clarify for Scott, Zibanejad was on the bench. I don't know if he played, but he was on the bench. I did see him as they were walking off. So just to clarify that. As far as and I was looking at this month just to kind of be fun. I was looking at this month with playing Pittsburgh and Philly and the Islanders and the Devils, and I was like, well, wouldn't it be great as a Ranger fan if we could just knock all of those teams out of the playoffs this month? We did it with the Devils. I think we're going to do it with the Flyers, although they're doing it for themselves already. The Islanders, you know, would have been nice to win tonight. But, you know, I was looking at that. It would have been great to, before the real playoffs even start, to knock the Islanders, the Devils, Pittsburgh out of the playoffs. So that might have been a little bit of fun. Last thing that I want to bring up is, and I don't know if this is an issue or not, was the scratching, the healthy scratch of Jack Roslovic in the Montreal game. I'm taking that as something that Laviolette was not happy with his performance over the last few games. When he first came here, I thought he complemented that line pretty well. I thought he was pretty tenacious. I thought he had the speed to keep up with Kreider and Zibanejad. I kind of thought that, well, I would have liked to have done better, but, you know, he may be good enough. And now I'm wondering, you know, tonight was hard to kind of gauge because the Islanders were really, you know, blocking shots and forechecking and backchecking hard and everything. But I'm going to be watching the next three games to see how Roslovic does and how Laviolette deploys him. Because I'm wondering going into the playoffs, I'm hoping that we don't have a first-line right-wing problem again. So I should have brought that up earlier so we could talk about it, but that's just kind of something I'll be looking at over the next three games to see how he does and how he meshes with Mika and Kreider to see what we got going into the playoffs.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Let's go to Carl, final thought.
Yes, another good episode with everybody. We'll pretty much know everything kind of coming into Tuesday. I know the season will end for everybody on Thursday officially, but I think we will have everything kind of figured out by Tuesday. I think probably the one last game of the season between the Penguins and the Islanders, I think we'll likely, if you do all the kind of permutations, we'll probably decide who the Rangers' opponent will be. So we'll probably be watching that Thursday with some interest. You know, last week we were discussing the dates of the postseason. And I did not, until I checked this the other day, I did not realize this, is that, and this is kind of a pretty ingenious move this year by the NHL. So they're going to be starting the postseason on the 20th, on that Saturday. If you notice the way the calendar has broken down, that is a clear day, free of any other sport, basically, where the league on a Saturday from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight can basically give you as much hockey as you want. I don't know how they're going to do the games and the schedule. We'll have to wait and see, you know, next, you know, Wednesday or Thursday when that's all figured out. But I didn't realize that until I noticed it, is that basically it's going to be a whole Saturday unopposed, and it's just going to be playoff hockey all day. You probably might be able to get six games in that particular day, depending on building availability and such like that. And normally we've had, you know, the postseason start on that Monday or that Tuesday, you know, middle of the week. But this year, starting on a Saturday, all day, you probably just stay at, go, you know, pull up a couch, pull up a drink, go to a bar or something like that, and you've got the whole day to yourself. And I think it's a very good thing that the league is going to be able to pull off this year by having, you know, for good marketing. We've seen the ratings for some, you know, the women's college basketball. We saw that. Of course, I don't think the NHL will get to, you know, 18 million. I don't think they'll be able to get to that. But, you know, as a starting point, just for marketing purposes, this is a very good idea to be able to have a standalone day to showcase your sport.
You know, Carl, shout out to you. You mentioned Saturday, April the 20th. You mentioned, you know, drinks and TV and, you know, the NHL, the only sheriff in town. Yeah, that's 420. That's good for the smokers. No, I'll just put it. It's good for the...
Get your gummies out.
Scott, get the gummies. Scott, your final thoughts, and we'll close shop, man.
First of all, I had a slight oversight here. I thought the regular season ended on the 20th. I didn't know the playoffs were starting on the 20th, and I am going. I'm going to see the women's league. You know, they play their home games out in Long Island, but I guess they're trying to trying to drum up support and whatnot. So they're playing two games at the Prudential Center, one on Saturday the 20th at 3:30, and then one on Tuesday night the 30th. And I'm going to both. I bought a jersey, got one of the Chinese knockoff jerseys. The jerseys are absolutely gorgeous, so I got one. And I'm going to check that league out. And now I'm terrified that I might be missing game one. But the good news is I won't be missing it because we are actually sitting in a Skybox because the Skybox tickets were, are you ready for this, $21. So worst case scenario, I'm sitting watching the women's game, watching the Ranger game on TV in the box. So be it. But I did not really think that one through. As far as the expansion, well, first of all, I don't want to see expansion at all. There's a couple teams you can relocate. And I know that they're talking about, I think they finally made it, they got the done deal with the Arizona Arena. But, I mean, this should have happened a decade ago. And I just don't know if it's going to salvage that team. And they're putting it, I believe, in an area, I think it's in Scottsdale, where it should have been from day one. And I hope it's not too late, but I just think it is. And that team should have moved a while ago. So they should relocate somewhere. And even though the Florida Panthers are a legit cup contender and have been for 2 years or maybe 3 years, you can get rid of them. I really, because unless they're at the top of the league, nobody goes to those games. You've seen it. It's all Ranger fans. It's not a Florida thing because Tampa's fan base is fantastic. They've always, you know, packed the house, but not the Panthers because, Miami, we've talked about Miami. Miami's just a terrible pro sports town. Every single team, even the Dolphins.
Well, can I chime in a little quickly? You know,
yeah.
Really split hairs. The main issue I would think with the Florida situation, if they were in Fort Lauderdale, like downtown Fort Lauderdale, like how Tampa is downtown Tampa, then it probably would sell a bit more. They're kind of more closer towards Alligator Way, where the Sawgrass Mall. They're kind of out of the way where they're located.
So
if you ever been to that arena, they're out of the way. It's weird.
I haven't. So what, they got the same thing going on that the Coyotes do? Just wrong location?
Yeah, there's the same issue with the Coyotes. Coyotes, like Carl will know, they play by the Cardinals, like the St. Louis Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. That's way out in Glendale. It's like away from the
Glendale
city.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But
it makes no
what
sense.
What I would do is
downtown Tampa. Easy to get to.
Yeah. So I'm hearing rumors again about Atlanta, and I mean, like I just don't understand. Like, how many times do you have to fail a franchise there before you get it? I just don't get it. You want to talk about terrible pro sports teams?
I think they're trying to use the logic because the Braves moved out of Atlanta to like suburban Atlanta, and the argument at that time was most of the season ticket holders are north of Atlanta, and that's what they're trying to use that hockey reason, bring closer towards the people who are going to actually buy season tickets. I don't think hockey works most places in the South. It works in Dallas.
Right.
It works in Nashville, definitely.
Carolina.
If you ever been to
Nashville, Carolina, definitely.
Carolina, it definitely works because, as you already know, Scott, you being in Raleigh, man. I mean, it's almost like a football game. They got tailgates and all kinds of shit outside. That's fun. Go ahead, Scott.
And the answer to your question, Quebec can definitely field a team, and Patrick has laid this out for me. It's not a situation like Hartford. When the Whalers left, people moved on. They either adopted the Rangers or the Bruins because they're right in the middle, and there's, you know, that team's not coming back. But Quebec is not like that. You know how, you know, Quebec is a massive province, and Montreal is in the south. You know, it's a lot of French, but there's also a lot of English. But when you get up there, up north, 3 hours north, there's no English. The people are Frencher, prouder, meaner, et cetera, you know, you insert any stereotype you want, and they did not pick up either anybody. Because they hate the Leafs, they hate the Habs, so they didn't pick. They hate Ottawa, so they didn't pick up any of those teams. So they love hockey, but they don't really have a team. Maybe they picked up like American. I don't know. Probably not. You know, I mean, they just don't have a team because they would not move on to any of the local Toronto or Montreal teams because they hate them. So, you know, it's not like a Hartford situation where people have moved on. You put a team back in there, and again, Quebec is a massive province. It's 3 hours away. They would definitely draw everybody from the top half of that province because they want that French thing back. I think according to Patrick in Montreal, they could definitely bring that team back, and it would be like they never left as far as fan support and whatnot, because they are a proud people and they have not taken on any of the other local teams to substitute. They just love the sport, but it's almost like they're blackballing the NHL because of what happened to them. But and Houston, they're talking about, you know, because the Dallas Stars have done very, very well, and Texas obviously a massive state as well. I think Houston could support a team. But my if I had to pick two, whether by expansion, I'd pick Quebec and I like the Milwaukee idea. Those would be my two, Quebec and Milwaukee.
I know we're out of time, but Glenn, if you want to put two cities out there, you would like to do that same thing for Carl? Like if there's two cities you wanted to expand?
Yeah.
Which one?
I actually saw the Rangers play the Quebec Nordiques up in Quebec. And they were a great fan base, totally French. I felt like I was in Europe. I really did. It's not like Montreal where it's bilingual and you can kind of get along. I thought they were a great fan base when I was there. It's a great city. I certainly think they could support a team. I agree with what Scott said, that they haven't adopted any other Canadian team because they hate them all. It's like if the Rangers moved to Carolina, would I become a Devil fan? No, I wouldn't. So I understand that mentality, but I would love to see a team back in Quebec. And secondly, I think Utah would be a great place as well. I've never been there, but everything I've heard about it, I think it would be, a city that's very appropriate for the NHL, with Milwaukee probably being a close second. And with what happened in Atlanta with two teams, anywhere but Atlanta, I just can't see how the NHL would even consider that again. I'd love to see Utah and absolutely Quebec would be my first choice.
All right, Carl, what about you? And then we're absolutely done. Carl, who do you got? Or what would you prefer if they were to go that route? New market.
So definitely Salt Lake City, based on all the information I've gathered on that. I feel like if you're the league, I don't feel like the market can be too big where you're competing with multiple sports, but you have to be a market that can definitely, like how when the Vegas, like if, you know, the NHL went to Vegas, they were the first ones to show up there, and the market isn't obviously big, but now you've seen everybody else flock there. In the case of Salt Lake City, you know, there's only the Utah Jazz, the college football team, and there's nothing else. See that?
Yeah.
So there's a market to be able
team,
to support.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
a market.
Yeah, there's a market that. Yeah, there's a market to be able to support. You know, in terms of funds to be able to go. You know, for fans to be able to, you know, invest in the team. There's not a lot of extra distractions. So that would be the one. There's been talk about Houston. I think the Rockets owner is going to try to, you know, put in for that. I'm not sure of that one. I'm trying to think of another sort of market in the United States. I'm reluctant to go back to Canada because if you've noticed, part of the marketing issue that the league has is that if you're in the States, the television networks almost just basically eliminate one-fourth of the league on television. If you've noticed, unless you're watching, you know, the Hockey Saturday thing is great, but you're not getting any, you're not getting Connor McDavid, you're not getting Toronto, you're not getting any of the league stars on these games because the Canadian television contract kind of prohibits that. So you can't kind of do that. So I guess the other place are probably like Portland, Oregon would probably, I don't know if they've been in any discussion.
Another one.
That would be a sort of like fringe market that's good, but not super. There would be a good rival right there for Seattle and Vancouver.
Yeah.
So you would be able to have sort of a little mini regional thing right there. That would probably of the can they go back to the Midwest for another? I don't think so. I can't. You mentioned Milwaukee. They've adopted kind of the Blackhawks thing over there. I've noticed that when I was up there. The Northeast can't take another one down south. So Portland would probably be the best option. And I feel like the relocation thing is bad business. I think they want $1 billion or $750 million for the next team to come into the league. That's why they're trying to make this Arizona thing work, because they're not trying to move them to Salt Lake when they can get $1 billion for it. It doesn't make any prudent sense to do so.
Yeah. All right, fellas, pick up next Tuesday. We'll see what the playoff pitch is looking like in both conferences, and we'll have some fun with that. Shout out to Scott Glenn and Carl and myself, Steve. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We'll be back next Tuesday, and I think that will be in 8 p.m. or in between episodes, have RP with us. All right, guys, enjoy. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.